Un jugador. Kelim Hadashim. We're learning kashrus over here. We're talking about now kashering things, about the kashering themselves, kashering kelim. All types of what? What kinds of stuff? On page Pedalet, 84. Kelim Hadashim from Rav Kook's book. Yeah? Klei matachot Hadashim. If you buy vessels made out of
metal.
New ones, and usually a lot of times they smear on them something to make it look nice, be shiny and nice, right? So
also in the processing to polish them.
Yeah, the polish. That's what he says here.
To grind them down, polish them. Yes.
יש מקילים וסורים שאינם צריכים הכשרה ויש מחמרים. Some people are makers that say you don't need to kasher it. Some people are machmers that say you need to kasher such a thing. אכן יש שהכריעו להסתפק בניקוי יסודי היטב על פני הכלי, להרתיע ודחו מים עד שיגלשו מעבר לפני הכלי. Yeah, some are makers that say, and if you get a new pot, right, it's enough to clean it really well, to boil the boiling water in it, and to let it overflow. Put a full of water to the top and let it overflow, boil and overflow, and that will be enough for the kashering.
From every new pot you buy?
New pot from the story.
You have to kasher every new pot?
Yeah, we just said a lot of times the new pots, they're not made in this country.
Okay. Even salt is not made here anymore.
Yeah, it's not made in this country.
Either China or Italy.
So a lot of times, if a person didn't do it, it's still kosher as food.
Does he have to do it later?
No, because he for sure boiled and cooked it, is whatever we do with it. But once you buy it, the best. Some people say you have to do hagalah mamash, take it into regular hagalah. Yeah. Some people say don't do anything.
Yeah, this
is the tefillah. Yeah, the tefillah has nothing to do with it. And some say, aposkim. Who is the achriu? Rav Eliashiv said this. Also in Tzitz Eliezer, that's how he also says it. Why is it more lenient? Because even if they put not kosher fat on it, it's mixed with glue and with I don't know what. It's
not be sure.
Pure.
Don't be sure.
I'm not sure of anything. I'm just translating what it says. If you have any questions, look in Ask Rav Eliashiv or in Shu Tzitz Eliezer or in Shu Avnei Yashveh. It just says what it says there. And there's a lot of stuff there which is pogem in the. It blemishes the taste of the stuff which is not kosher, and therefore a lot of mekel. But still, it's something not kosher there. Therefore, it is good to boil it, to boil water in it, to clean it well first of all with soap, clean it, and then to boil water in it till it overflows.
What do you think you are when you eat? Some pig fat even has something in it, still pig fat.
So that's why you do that and get clean.
If we call, if I go crazy, all the major. All or most of the major Saladi plus gives it. Do not rely
on it. He doesn't bring any Saladi
to the with your soul.
So. כלים להפייה, עיסוי מחומר מתחתיר, מעודד, הנקראים תמיות חד פעמיות. Throw away. Throw away dishes,
disposable
from aluminium. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Aluminium. Some say the ma'ase mi'ikar adin. Okay, you don't have to. It doesn't have to show mi'ikar adin, but it's good to be machmir to buy one with a hechshar in it. Okay, in Eretz Yisrael, I think all of them have a hechshar in it. You have the extra. Yeah, it's stamped into it, exactly. Okay. So. Now we're going to talk about Akshara mi Isurim Shonim. If stuff happened to the vessels and it became not kosher, how do you catch it? Kelim shebishlu bahem irakot o perot sheinam meusarim, demida veinam bnei yomam, nireh sheyesh la'atir lishtamesh bahem lelo hagala. Right? It's the name of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. He says, that kelim that were used to cook, someone bought potatoes and they weren't maestred. Yeah?
Tevel.
Tevel. It could happen in the house, even a house that keeps kosher, it could happen. Why? A person could have bought somewhere where they know it's not kosher. He brought from a friend a sack of potatoes. But he forgot to tell his wife that it's not kosher. So she, in the meantime, made mashed potatoes from it. Right? Now, in the 24 hours, don't use this pot. After 24 hours, by the way, you can't eat the food, of course, unless you miser it.
Wait, you can use a pot and
food. Right. Balai isu. After 24 hours, you can use it. You don't have to kasher it.
What was wrong with the pot? The food was not kosher,
or
was not
meister? Not meister.
That gives a non-kosher status to the pot?
For the 24 hours. After 24 hours, it's clean.
How
does it work? It gives a tam of the isu.
What if you, but can you take meister out of the food? It's like you make a challah, and you only took out the challah afterwards.
Right.
Doesn't make your oven non-kosher?
It's true, the oven doesn't make it. But it does make.
Let's say you make the pan that you make challah on. You can take the.
No,
the
challah is different. Challah is different. Because challah.
The flour is.
Everything here is kosher. It says chayv and challah. There's no issur in the thing. But the ma'amayzer, the issur in the food itself.
There's
an issur there. Issur of tevel. It's called tevel.
So that's what I'm saying. You take the
maaser
out afterwards. Doesn't
the pot? The pot in the meantime swallow the
isu. It's not dip.
The same thing with challah.
No, but challah is different.
If you don't take the processed
challah
after, you make
the pot. No. There's no isu in the food itself. There's no isu. You're not allowed to eat it, but there's no isu in the food. Potatoes, they're not maaser. There's an isu in the food itself.
I think it's on the chepsah.
Okay. Here, you can't eat it without doing ma'aser. It's different. The food itself, no problem.
What's
it? Chiluk, whatever.
When you make challah, the flour that you buy, they have your ma'aser.
Right, the challah, the flour is ma'aser.
You take
flour,
they have no ma'aser. Then it's a problem.
Then it's a problem, right. Yeah. Anyways, in the 24 hours, not to use it, not to use the fat. Afterwards, you don't have to kasher it. You can use it straight. Okay, that's the name of Shlomo Zalman Arba. Mecham o si'u, this is very important, listen to this. People, listen to this. Mecham o si'ir shebishlu b'ayim b'shabbat b'meizid. If you have a pot or anything that we've cooked with it on Shabbos b'meizid, meizid meaning intentionally, he cooked, made an egg in this thing on Shabbos, right? There's a knas chachamim, and you can never eat the food that was cooked on Shabbos. Okay? Who can eat it? The person who cooked. Okay? If someone made an egg on Shabbos, as a knas, then he can't eat that egg ever. Throw in the garbage. Someone else, after Shabbos, the time period that it takes to make an egg, can eat it. Okay? Okay? Shab.
Wait.
It's a knas, chachamim. It's a knas.
What does he care about a knas?
Well, he doesn't care. But let's say he went to the shir in the afternoon, and the Rav said, "Oh, I didn't know it's Shabbos. I don't know what."
Potentially,
that means
you know it's Shabbos,
huh? He knew it's Shabbos. He didn't know you're not allowed to cook, right? That's why we're learning this sugya, right?
What do you do?
No,
huh?
He intentionally cooked it, but he forgot it was Shabbos.
Intentionally cooked it, you know, Shabbos.
It's not mechal of Shabbos, but amazing.
Maybe the whole sugya in the Gemara, it's very complicated sugya in Perek Shvi and Shabbos. I'm learning now with Ezra and Chavruta. Very complicated. But what's considered mezid? What's considered shogeg? So.
But we're not talking about chomen eggs.
No, it's a whole different ballgame.
Right.
Egg game.
Egg game.
One second.
Rabbi.
One second. Also here, these kelim in the 24 hours of the use, they're considered treif. These kelim that were used for Shabbos, used on Shabbos amazing, they're considered treif for 24 hours. After 24 hours, if they're clean, right?
Why, so isn't that a scenario where the issue is the person, not the food? The food
here is the knas. Yeah, maybe also there's a knas. You know what? Maybe also there's a knas.
When Shabbos came in, the egg was Moksa Kufa or something, right?
If it's raw. Body,
it's raw. And then he cooks on Shabbos, doesn't it still have the same...
It's Moksa?
Yeah, it's
supposed to
say Muktzah
still, right? You have a worse situation now. Now you have a Bishul Doraisa, it's a bit worse than Muktzah.
No, I'm saying not for that person, but I'm saying for the person who's
Then shouldn't the egg in general be Aser?
Oh, because you can eat it after Shabbos, you're saying, not on Shabbos.
Yeah, but the person who cooked it cannot eat it.
Right,
okay. This part he used initially, it's Basari, or Talahi, or Bar, but it doesn't matter.
Use it on Shabbos.
Doesn't matter. So it puts the egg in it.
On Shabbos.
You want to see if it becomes treif?
Treif knas. Not that it's really treif.
What?
It's not that it's really treif. Yeah. There's a penalty from the rabbis to make it.
It's as if it's treif.
Exactly.
So then he only has to wait
24 hours. Yeah. Now he really wants this pot because he wants to eat another egg now. Tell him, no, you can't.
Yeah, but he cooks it on Shabbos and somebody runs in and says, you know, you're not supposed to do that? And if you do it, you can't eat it? And he says, oh, I didn't know.
Right.
And he stops. He doesn't eat it.
To the spring, can eat it after Shabbat.
What?
In the spring, can eat it after Shabbat.
No, but that's only if you did it amazing. If you, that's Shagig. If you did Shagig, he's allowed to eat it after Shabbos. He did Shuvah. What do you mean? He did eat Bodhidut afterwards. And he said, oh, I shouldn't have cooked on Shabbos. I should strengthen myself and do the halacha. Not talking about you. I'm talking about someone who's mitchazek. Or, right? First of all, on Shabbat itself, no one's allowed to eat this. If you go to a restaurant, which doesn't have a... I know there's a restaurant, this is a story. There's a restaurant in the Bika.
In the where?
In the Bika, in the Jordan Valley. North here. Yeah, north from here. And what?
Yeah, that's why they're giving it back because of the restaurant.
Sorry. And there's a restaurant there that works also on Shabbos, and they have a hechsher during the week. So the whole thing on the radio, they called the rabbi, gave them a hechsher. How are you giving them a hechsher? Even if everything is kosher there, they use the kelim they use on Shabbos. So they can't even cook afterwards for people with a hechsher on it. He said, no, they have different kelim. I made them. If they want a hechsher, they have to have special kelim for Shabbos for cooking, and special kelim for weekday.
Trust them that they do that. Where's the Jordan Valley?
What's the Jordan Valley? It's a valley between here and Tveria.
It's like Elohim.
What?
And Arabs there or Jews?
Both.
No.
Bekata Elden.
Not many. Is that? Not like just
millions of people. No, but people go on the road 90, which goes all the way from the Tura to Eilat. They go on that road. You go to Tveria through that road.
When he cooks on Shabbat, the other person cannot eat too.
No.
Only when he makes an accident.
So, kol kli atzarich hachshara, any kli that needs to be kashered, asur lishtamesh beoter hachsharato, afilu ma'achalim karim. You know how to use it? Right? Even for cold stuff. Don't use it at all. Achen, im idichim, mushashifim oto yeter, if you clean it well, the ofen ara'i, temporarily, you're allowed to put stuff in it. But lechatchila, you don't like, now continue, oh, I'm going to use it now only for cold. Because what's going to be? A person you're going to forget, so I need to kasher it. Right? Therefore, if you have a fork or a spoon, right? That accidentally was in the milk, it was in the flesh of the milk, you need to kasher it now. Don't say, oh, I'm going to use it just for cereal and that's all. Because what will be? Then you'll forget which one was for cereal, which one was not. Then you come to use it for hot, and you're eating isurim here. Therefore, the best thing is to take it as soon as possible, boil a pot and kasher it. Right? And if you can't do it right away, so put it aside somewhere where you, or label it.
So that's
it
where they get the custom of putting it in the ground 10 times?
Yeah, that's the second thing. A knife, when you need to kasher it, and you need to use it. Again. Sakina tzicha hechsher, if it was a knife that was used for, it was not kosher, whatever, and you want to use it באופן חד פעמי, בדבר קר, he wants to use it one time in something cold. First you take it when it's clean. You stab it 10 times into the ground, 10 different places, in a hard ground, not in a soft like sand, hard ground. And talking about a knife that doesn't have bumps in it, a sharp knife, like a...
Not serrated.
Right, that's the bomb, yeah? That kind of knife. Then you can stab it, and then you can use it. Aval? Second. Yeah, but... Yeah. But really, to use it afterwards for other things, for sharp things or for hot things, you have to kasher it mamash. Just for now, if you want to use it for regular things, you should just stick it in the ground in a hard place 10 different times, and then you can use it. But if it's a knife with bumps, it has nothing to do with it. You have to kasher it, and that's all. Okay, now, talk about how do you kasher. Okay? So get with the types of kashering things. It depends on what it is. We set a rule. If everyone remembers, that the way it received the isul, that's the way it has to get rid of the isul. Meaning the degree of heat that it received it. If it received it in cold, get rid of it in cold, right? If someone
takes
if someone takes milk and meat less than 45 degrees and puts it in the same pot, all you have to do is rinse it. Not only that, if someone takes milk, the meat itself, and puts it in the milk, cold, what do? You rinse it.
Rinse the meat?
Yeah.
And the milk?
The milk? If there's no pieces in it, drink it. I told you already that he came here, Fuchs was here 2 years ago. So he said a lady called in and said that she left overnight, marinated the schnitzels in the egg overnight. And in the morning she took out the egg, and now she wants to cook this egg and eat it with cheese. Could she be allowed to do that or not? So he told her it was cold. You sure there's no pieces in the egg? No pieces at all. You check, there's no, just egg left? Just egg. Okay, so eat it with milk, he said. I remember everyone told him, what? Who could do such a thing? He said, if she said there's nothing in it, there's nothing in it.
What does that mean? She put the chicken in the egg?
Yeah, chicken breast. And left it in a bowl with eggs, with beaten eggs, broken right. Eggs, yeah?
So you're saying none of that flavor gets absorbed into the egg?
In cold, no. It's less than 24 hours. It's more than 24 hours, it's flavorless completely. It's liquid. It's called kavush.
None of the flavor gets absorbed in all the flour?
In less than 24 hours, no. Cold, less than 24 hours, no. More than 24 hours, it's completely flavorless. Same thing with a plastic vessel. You take a plastic vessel and you put chicken soup in it. More than 24 hours, cold chicken soup. The plastic deflations, yeah? Even if it's cold. Don't say it's tar because it's cold, because more than 24 hours, it's called kavush. It's a liquid, only if it's a liquid. If it's a goosh, if it's a piece of meat, plunk into the thing, it doesn't get absorbed in 24 hours. Only if it's a liquid.
It becomes fleshy?
Yeah. Or milk, if it's milk, yeah. Okay, so anyways.
You can't really kosher plastic.
So you could kosher plastic. It depends on what plastic it is. We said already. Technically, it's all a technical problem. If it's able to put it, if you're able to put it in a boiling hot water and it will stay whole, so good. If it will stay with a hole, so not good.
We kosher it's the plastic.
Yeah, yeah, you can kosher plastic, yeah.
Dish things, the whole dishes.
Yeah, yeah.
If we have an egg and we make a schnitzel out of it, and the schnitzel's in the egg overnight, you can take the schnitzel out, or if there's no pieces, use the egg for
eating it with chalavi.
Eating it with chalavi.
Yeah.
Same with water. If I have a chicken soaking in water overnight, I can take that water and make coffee and put.
It's weird, right? It's weird.
It's weird.
Because I told him, and we were all of us telling him, told him, impossible.
Impossible. No part got in.
Right. Impossible that it didn't get anything of the thing. She said, she did it. I said, okay. She said.
But water, I would be careful. There's a some
bias. You know, you want to believe that nothing got in.
Believe nothing got in. Nothing got in.
Maybe whatever got in is butter bishish.
Yeah. Eggs are very cheap. It's not like
I almost poured a bunch of milk in our.
But organic eggs are not so cheap. Also,
listen. You want to live an expensive lifestyle, so then that's your prerogative.
Well. You have organic, and then you have poison.
So, agala ve'otchim. Okay, agala. People are calling me about you.
Baruch Hashem. Are they calling about like jumping into a boiling hot pool?
Let's see what it says here. Could be. I don't know. They want to put you in.
Yeah, maybe they want to know if I'm Yiras Shemayim and Hagala. So teach me about how to be Yiras Shemayim and Hagala.
Here, I'll teach you right now. We don't have a problem with Basil Chalav, so.
What?
You don't have a problem with milk and meat, so.
Yeah, I do. There's meat in the world. I have a problem.
Kelim shebalu isu. Kelim that swallowed the isu could be not kosher food, also. Or Basal v'gam Chalav, tochede bishul b'mayo berotev. Right, the milk and meat, while it was cooking with the water or with the liquid, yeah, the liquid in the pot. There was a liquid in the pot. Often, achsharatam v'achnasam netoch mayim rotchim alim water omdim agabei ha'esh. The way kashering it is taking this vessel and putting it in a different vessel which is full of water, rolling water, bubbling. You call it
rolling, bubbling water.
Right. That the fire is under the pot. And if the fire is not under the pot, it's not good enough. And the fire has to be covered from under the pot. Yeah? Not from the sides. And then you put the non-kosher thing in it and take it out. And according to Ashkenazi, you rinse it after it's cold water. And then it's agala. It's called hagala, and that's kosher. Okay?
But the thing about that is it has to be very clean. And it has to be one piece.
Yeah. So same thing we said. If something that was 24 hours with a meaty dish that was 24 hours with milk, even cold, also needs kashering. And not only that, if you had a dish, right? A fleshy dish with onions that were cut with a milchik knife also needs kasher. Why? Because we said already it's called charif, it gets the isu and it transfers it on. Okay?
It's
charif. Charif, even if you cook it, it's charif. Why? It stays.
What if your wife thinks otherwise?
Also lemon is kharif.
Huh? Lemon?
I mean also no radish is kharif.
Tell
her
you said it.
Women's
have problems you call.
You stop eating meat and you don't have a problem.
A lot of problems. But it's cold, let's say. Cold.
It's very different.
A cold masaris woman inside of school makes it masaline.
Yeah.
Also vinegar.
Vinegar.
Mustard,
exactly.
And so the like this food, it also picks up the basariness.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that if you eat it, you become basari. It means that you can't eat it.
Milk.
Exactly.
Right, but you are when you eat.
Put a spoon into it. Now the milk spoon is great. After the school is basari.
I'll ask her about. I don't know exactly the.
Okay.
So. I will ask her up. Right after the shim.
I think this is where I was talking about with Rav Elgrad. It's the same kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Verification would be good.
What does Hagala mean? Haflata. Spits out. Hagala in Hebrew is Haflata. It's polet. It spits out what it has in it. That's what Hagala means.
Mag'il.
That's what's disgusting. Find something else.
Spit it out.
It's like
if I ate a piece of meat, I'd hagala.
Earthenware, you can't
what?
Earthenware.
No.
No.
Let's see now.
And kibbutz. to make for the army. They're called kalbegas. They're burners that you would boil to get the kitchens in the army ready for Pesach. So the one for Pesach, they made two kinds. One that shot the gas out this way, and the other one had this at the end would go
so it goes from the bottom.
Right, and also they had to change the handle. That the handle that we use with the one that goes like this wouldn't be made out of wood. It had to be metal, otherwise it would burn.
So hot.
If this was underneath it with the pot.
Dafka from under, yeah. Very good. הערה הכלי שבא תוך כדי תיגון, צליעה או אפיין הגודלות, טוב, soon we'll talk about that. יוד ג' חומרי הכלים שמונים מהגלה מותחים, which types of vessels helps to do הגלה? All metals, gold, silver, copper, בדיל, איך אומרים בדיל?
Bronze.
Another word, just forgot.
Brass or bronze?
No.
Copper?
Tin.
Black.
Black.
Deal. No, what's that?
Iron.
That's
present.
No, deal. So deal is, I don't know, whatever.
Lead.
Maybe lead, yeah. Or deal is lead. Or ferret. Or ferret or something else. Another type of metal.
Ferret's lead.
What
is it? Deal. Deal is
much of a deal, man. They use it a lot today.
But they
haven't
done it before.
Oh, pewter.
Pewter, maybe.
Oh, yeah, look in the dictionary. Where's your thing?
You
don't have your.
I have a Tilia.
New phone?
You
have a new phone.
What's with the bar? No, meaning rock.
Aluminium? Nairosta? Don't use. Plada? What's a plada? Steel. Steel? No.
Stainless steel?
No, that's that. Bedil, I hate this one. If you want a good dictionary, look, Ezra has a very good, clean.
This according to a dime
after
I
touch it, okay.
What's wrong with that one?
This one has a lot of bad slang words and not nice ones. Bedil is tin.
Tin.
And oferet, I think, is what other thing is it. Right, that's what you have in the Ipawan, exactly.
That's the name, Ipawan.
Yeah, Oferet is lead. And what else do we add here?
Aluminum is aluminum.
Aluminum, Nairosta is Nairosta. And Plada, you know what Plada is?
Nairosta, what is Nairosta? It's a kind of metal.
Sounds like a Ukrainian
name. You don't know Nairosta?
Nairosta.
Rosta,
the coffee bean. Rosta is very light metal.
Rosta is aluminum. No.
No.
Rosta.
It's a combination of two things.
Mister
Rosta.
Wait,
what's
the? Because they sell in the stores these like things to make coffee, like to steam the milk, and they call them their Rostas. And I was looking. I was like trying to figure out if it was aluminum or stainless steel.
No, I think they're talking about roasting in that scenario.
I think it's candles.
I think they were actually referring to roasting.
No, it's well, maybe. Okay, yeah, it was what they called the clay itself. And they roast that.
For roasting coffee, you use copper or stainless steel.
That's not in here.
Not aluminum?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
And plada, you know plada? But that is a very, very strong metal. The strongest metal there is.
Titanium?
Steel.
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 I think
titanium.
Titanium is the strongest metal, right?
We have titanium in times.
But that is steel.
But that is steel.
The stronger metal.
Yeah, okay, whatever. That's what we made vessels on. כמו כן, כלי עץ מועילה להם עגלה ורותחים בתנאי שאינם חלקים מפניהם, לא חריצים מוזדקים. Also, if you have wood, also you can cut it as long as it's smooth and not holes and bumps and stuff. Same thing with the plastic.
It's always so fake, though.
What?
It's always going to be absorbent.
Don't hear.
Huh?
What about that?
It's always going to have absorbed.
Yeah, but that's when you put it inside, it spits it out.
Normally, when we would...
water, you can boil...
For butcher block, what we would use is we would sand down the butcher
exactly.
block.
Exactly. And if you need to, you could sand it down. If it gets bumpy and stuff,
So a wooden spoon, as long as it's smooth, as long as you can run your finger on it and not get splinters, you can kosher that?
Yeah.
That's the first I've ever heard.
So that's it. I don't know. When
I was working in a butcher shop, we would have butcher block, which is like 6 inches thick. And we would just build it, send it down.
Now, soup bowls. Soup bowls you don't cook with. What do? You pour into them. Therefore, even if it was mixed with milk, the way you kosher it, you take boiling hot water and pour into it. And it's kosher again.
Pour into it.
Wow. Yeah?
Say it again.
If you have a bowl, a fleshing bowl, made out of metal, of course. Metal, one of these things, you can kosher. And.
Metal soup bowl?
Yeah, what? You didn't go to India, huh?
My wife would kill me if I brought home metal soup bowls.
Yeah, in India they have a lot of things. Metal cups, metal this, metal that.
Used to be that.
Anyways, and you use it, not on the fire, you use it, you take a hot soup and put it in it. So therefore, the way you kosher it, take boiling hot water and pour into it.
Wow.
Because you didn't get the...
When you do agala, the utensil has to be all in at once. It's not like you take half of it and half of it.
Lord, yeah.
It has to be all in
once.
There you go. Look at this.
I think
it's
half and half.
Let's see. We'll see in a second.
That doesn't apply. So the pouring doesn't apply to glass for Ashkenaz, does it?
What?
The pouring doesn't apply to glass soup bowls for Ashkenazim, does it?
Glass?
Yeah.
Soup bowl?
Yeah.
Ashkenazim, Friday you don't have to kasher. Ashkenazim, you can't kasher.
Uh-huh.
What you normally do is break them. Very handy.
Did you tvi la on cheres?
No.
Why?
Cheres?
Yeah.
Shvirato azu takanato, the Gemara says. Breaking it is fixing it.
How does breaking it?
Break it. Literally take it, drop it on the floor, and smash it.
No, when you first buy it.
When you first buy it?
Yeah.
Why to kashrut it?
No, tvi la.
Tvila, I didn't hear the akshara.
Tvila, the first tvila.
No, we don't do.
Why?
Because it's even though it has a glazed coating, it's very thin.
Uh-huh.
Huh?
So it
doesn't need a gala.
Uh-huh.
Only metal and glass. We learned that, yeah. Yeah, by the way, if you had a spoon, yeah? You had this fleshing bowl. And you put in it hot cereal, okay? Metal, or wood. And then you took a fleshing spoon and stuck it in, so even kashering the spoon is even easier. Why? You just take it, boil water, put it in a pot, take it in, take it out. Why? Because...
the part that was inside.
Yeah, just the part that was inside.
So that sort of answers my question.
Right.
Let's say a ladle for soup.
Right, just the part that touched.
The top,
right, just the part that touched, it's enough to kosher it.
And the pot that you boil the water in, that doesn't get non-kosher because it had the spoon in it.
Doesn't get non-kosher.
Because it's 160 of the 160 rule, too.
If it's like a small pot, like a little stainless steel cup that you boil water in, so it might not be 160 at the top. Is that
possible? It depends on how hot it is.
If it's like boiling, but it's a small enough cup, so it might not be 160.
It doesn't have to be 160. It doesn't make a difference. It doesn't swallow because it's a busy spitting out.
So if it's boiling, it can be like 5 times the amount of water and still be fine.
Right.
Wow. Even if you touch the walls of the kli?
Yeah, it's fine. Okay. Yeah, when you kasher a pot, you have to also kasher the cover if it had a cover on it, yeah? And also, if you can kasher a pot, you have to kasher also the handles, everything, the whole pot. You have to kasher.
The pot too.
Everything. Okay. Kasher the whole thing. Okay, one more thing.
Even though those things never touch.
Right. Right. The pot is one.
Sorry, you said by a little.
By a little, only what touched.
Okay.
I don't know, but I asked the rabbi, I said, so that's not what I was. I don't know if it's. I'll ask. I'm learning also. Still lachatz, you know, a pressure cooker? Pressure cooker, even though it gets to very, very high degrees, very hot it gets, still, it's enough to kasher it like you kasher everything else in boiling water. Okay?
But it has to be very clean.
Yeah, first of all. And second of all, you have to switch the rubber, either switch it or kasher it also. Take it off and kasher it. You can take it off, put it back on. I had one on.
And also the weight, the valve.
To clean it really well. Right, yeah. So that was aloha for today.
Okay, question about this fitting out. So if I have a pot, okay, water boils at 100 degrees Celsius. If I have a pot, it doesn't have water in it, but it's heated up to 100 degrees Celsius, same temperature.
It doesn't have water?
It doesn't have water.
It's a different disease.
Because I was going to ask if
you said in the beginning, talking about stuff that received the isu through, with when there was liquid in the pot.
No, I'm saying if I'm boiling water in a pot, but there is like the top of the pot, the water only goes this high. Okay, so if I touch something, treif on a part that doesn't have water, it doesn't matter?
No, I don't know, but usually you fill up the pot with water and boil it.
Because if it just happens to touch the outside of the pot or the part that's not in the water.
Could be a pot.
We learn that the vapors of the pot, the wet vapors of the water or whatever is boiling affects what's on top.
Right. Yeah, so maybe, I don't know.
In other words, pizza.
So in other words, don't eat your McDonald's Big Mac while cooking kosher.